Right, hello to you all. So in the most recent Emperor video, I spoke fairly extensively about the Emperor's crusade against religious worship, the extremely uncompromising nature of his actions, but I don't think some of what I said was clearly explained, and I should have learned by now that you can never explain things clearly enough, so while something in my head makes total sense, it maybe is not so much so for those who are listening, and this is maybe a shortcoming of mine. Anyway, in some of the passages, I think some descriptions need clarifying further. Now, my ideal solution would be to go back, maybe revise a few things, but that would mean removing a video, re-editing, re-upping something. No one really wants to have to do that. So I hope instead that I can just maybe clarify a few points that were not made as well as I would have liked them to be. So maybe this will become an ongoing format for amending, to just add an addendum after maybe very lengthy videos. 40k can be pretty simple, but it can also get very complex, very philosophical, a lot of semantics. And with the best will in the world, sometimes you can miss a singular quote somewhere which can change the meaning of everything. It's an ever ongoing minefield of just understanding, and sometimes things you've read before will drop out of your mind. It's just this ongoing balancing act. And I always do my best to find a common focus. I also will say, if this was not clear already, when I make my videos, I usually want them to have a certain feel, or perhaps lean maybe a little more one way than another. But you shouldn't interpret this as a bias, it's maybe just more of a creative choice. Lastly, I hope you guys will see that I am never closed to correcting, amending, or changing a position on something. With that said, if you come at me in the comments with something which is very clearly nonsense, I'm going to say that it is, alright? If people will have a constructive, respectful discussion with me, I'm going to do the same with you. But this doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree, and it doesn't mean that what I decide is definitively right either. This is one of the best things about 40k, that people can interpret things differently. For sure, some things are more certain than others. Some, you can argue, are definitely carved in stone, but others are very, very loose and open to personally subjective interpretations. And to give you maybe a sense of how much I value all this, if a mistake is too severe, I will fix it rather than just saying, whatever, to hell with it. You know, in the past, when I was close to releasing the Mechanicum video, it was basically finished. And yet I realized I had to go back and fully re-edit the whole thing because I'd muddled some of the timeline. And this took me several days to fix, anything like 20 hours to get that one done. Another thing is that whenever I'm trying to write up a script or an edit, a core thing is that if it doesn't have some, whatever I'm talking about doesn't have some kind of reference. So for example, to be clear, my STC video, I mentioned that it was my own speculation, tried to make that very, very clear. But then this can get very complicated itself, because what constitutes a reference? Very often when I see people discussing stuff in, say, Reddit or on a forum or YouTube comments about set in stone facts, in air quotes, and people get really, really fired up about these things, except when you then go and actually read and find the reference that they're basing their rant on or whatever, you often find that it's anything but a fact, and more often than not, it's something which is extremely vague and totally open to interpretation. Which is why I always laugh when people say things like, I don't have the reference for it, but I'm sure that I've seen this somewhere. Yeah, it's like, I'm guilty of this myself, but if you can't back it up with a reference, it's not a thing. And if that reference is more than a little shaky, don't be surprised if I or anybody else is more than happy to just dismiss or ignore it. There also has to be the question as to how we may view things which are only mentioned once in a text briefly. Do we take this as being definitive from that point on, or should it only be considered as such when it has been confirmed in other sources multiple times first? That's another personal question to answer. Because much of the way we interpret everything in 40k often relies on you trusting the source. And if that source happens to be, say, some crazy hermit in a cave, a misremembered, overly romanticized version, or a figment of something's imagination, or how about just a straight up lie? You know, this doesn't happen by chance, because a lot of what is written is done so with a deliberate sense of plausible deniability, so that later on, if they decide they want to change something, they can do so without everything else becoming a total mess. And this is why I have said forever, things are only canon until they are not. Case in point, Disney Star Wars. So firstly, let's talk about the Emperor's use of extreme violence. Now, it's certainly true to say that this was not an uncommon occurrence for the ongoing future. Yet for me, it was the severity of this with which the Emperor seemed entirely unconcerned that bothered me. However, with that said, it's certainly true that in the greater scheme of things, it could be seen as being appropriate or even necessary. And it is, I admit, certainly open to interpretation if the emperor is genuinely hypocritical through his description of religious violence, ignoring political violence while acting it out himself. It's more likely that he is simply trying to make an argument, which I said in the video, because he's trying to argue this case without having to explain the primordial truth, which is what he wants to avoid doing for obvious reasons. But the whole point of the primordial truth is why he wants to eliminate religion. So you can kind of see how the whole thing is like this conflict mess, and he's making a very poor argument that doesn't make a lot of sense on the one hand, and then kind of going against what he's saying and acting it out on the other. And like you say, you can make the moral argument that his overall goal is a higher purpose and it benefits more than it is a negative. But within that context, I'm looking not at the grander picture from our understanding, but just in that specific space at that specific time. And I do feel it's worth reminding that the emperor is a man who seems entirely unconcerned by disposing of anything as and when it becomes unnecessary or inconvenient for him, the Thunder Warriors being a good example. We have on the one hand this figure saying that he's going to be the savior of humanity and lead us all into the light, yet at the same time he's committing atrocities left, right and center that are as bad or worse than those that he's looking to eradicate. And again, we have to assume this is all in the service of some higher purpose, and based on the emperor's say-so, just taking his word for it. Now, from the YouTube comments in the emperor video, I'll thank the son of Angron for highlighting that even his own primarchs would later question the way the emperor is carrying this stuff out. So this is an excellent quote from the primarch Angron of the World Eaters, speaking to Leman Russ of the Space Wolves, neither of who are strangers to brutality or an appreciation for bloodshed. But listen to what Angron says. "We fight for the same reasons men have always fought for land, for resources, for wealth, and for bodies to feed into the grinders of industry. We fight to silence anyone that dares draw breath and whisper a different opinion from ours. We fight because the emperor wants every world in his hands. All he knows is slavery, painted in the inoffensive cloak of compliance. The very notion of freedom is a horror to him. Do we give choices to those we slaughter, a true choice, or do we broadcast that they must throw their weapons into the fires of peace and bow down, faces pushed into the mud like beggars, thanking us for the culture we force upon them? We offer them compliance or we offer them death, for each time I wage war against worlds that threaten the Imperium's advance, there comes another time where I'm told to conquer peaceful worlds that wish only to be left alone. I'm told to destroy whole civilizations and call it liberation. I'm told to demand millions of men and women from these new worlds to make them take up arms in the Emperor's hordes, and I'm told to call this a tithe or recruitment, because we're too scared of the truth. We refuse to call it slavery. I'm told to bathe my legion in the blood of innocents and sinners alike. And I do it because it's all that's left for me in this life. I do these things and I enjoy them, but not because we are moral or right or loving souls seeking to enlighten a dark universe, but because all I feel are the butcher's nails hammered into my brain. I serve because of this mutilation. Without it, well, perhaps I might be a more moral man, like you claim to be, a virtuous man. Perhaps I might ascend the steps of our father's palace and take the slaving bastard's head." Now, bear in mind, that's coming from one of the Emperor's primarchs, albeit one who would become a traitor to him, but nonetheless, you can see that there are two different ways of viewing what the Emperor is doing. You can clearly see that his actions raise a few eyebrows, even among those who were literally bred for the sole and singular purpose of waging unending warfare. It's very difficult to dismiss that the Emperor's actions, as I said in the previous video, are not more than a little excessive and certainly considerably dismissive of the suffering of the victims that he is trying to essentially save humanity. It just seems extremely unnecessary. And I don't really accept this argument that it was a necessary thing that he had to do to reach these other goals. What? These people on these worlds who essentially hadn't really done anything other than just disagree, and their punishment is immediate slaughter? That seems incredibly hypocritical to me. But of course, people are going to come back to that old chestnut. The Emperor, oh, he's got his plan, he's got his vision. He understood what was at stake and he was going to achieve that because there was no option to do otherwise. Again, except that you're just taking the Emperor's word for this. The problem for me is that accepting this kind of imposed leadership on others is something that has never sat very well throughout humanity. And it seems that with the best will in the world, it's very hard to accept his unflinching do-or-die approach. Maybe the stakes were simply much higher than any of us can understand, but let's put a pin in that, because after all, the future is hardly a place of peace and civility. Yet I would only say that if you're trying to make your case that you are the one true leader for mankind, maybe you would do better to convince people of that than just slaughtering those who disagree with you. Because that, for me, it's not a very convincing argument. So the next thing I want to address is a bit of a tricky one, so I hope you'll try and follow me on this. And also, not that I think it's especially relevant, but just to be clear for your reference, I'm not a religious person in my own life. So in the video I stated that the emperor was looking to eradicate religion from humanity, but not because he thought worship itself would fuel the chaos gods, because this fundamentally is not how chaos works. Because chaos is empowered, fueled, sustained, however you want to describe it, by our existing natural emotions. Some that are stronger than others and have more impact on the warp, and the severity of associated physical actions may bring any number of strong feelings through, not just an individual, but also other people around you. And all this is true. This is how the warp primarily functions. So my assertion is that the emperor was trying to reduce the amount of associated negative actions that may arise from those who worship either directly or indirectly the forces of chaos. Now I say reduce, not destroy. And this starts to get a bit complicated here. Essentially, what you've got to keep in mind is that the warp and its entities are constantly reaching out in very, very small ways. It takes a lot of energy from the warp to physically manifest in real space for a demon or a big action or whatever. Yet this is not the only way the creatures of the warp reach out and manifest. It's very much a sliding scale of incursion. And I think the best way to explain this is for us to go right back to the beginning, before the Chaos Gods were even properly sentient of what they would become. You have all these shared related feelings swirling around in the warp. Let's just for simplicity say anger, hate, maybe bloodlust, right? When enough of these feelings have pooled, they start to form and coalesce and become eventually what will be Khorne. But before you get to that, this formation of powerful feelings begins to become somewhat self-aware, but perhaps not fully. It's more of a driven sense of what it is, what these feelings are when they are all combined, perhaps an inclination or a desire for more, a quite literal thirst for blood, you might say. But it's all still relatively weak. It's not going to manifest any warp entities or have some grand plans. But what it could do is it might start to touch the minds of humans, but just in a very, very small way to begin with. Imagine it's like a pinprick that makes you angry with your partner or friend. You know, just a little pinprick in the mind. Maybe you lash out at someone for no reason in front of others. But the point is, the warp will be making a net gain in terms of psychic energy accumulated from making that very tiny, tiny impact. One of the things that chaos is very much about is efficiency. It wants to expend as little energy as possible while achieving the biggest return it can on that investment of psychic energy. Now, if you follow that idea through, you can see how the warp reaching out with those very small impacts of negative inspiration would build and build and build until eventually it's a full-blown cascade effect. And this is when you see the horrific bloody wars of early mankind and the true birth of the first of the chaos gods, Khorne. Medieval times, horrific torturing methods. You know, you've got things like the wheel, where they'd lash a person to the wheel, they'd sort of put maybe wooden like braces in and around, and then a guy with a great big sort of hammer or some other iron implement would just go along the arm, breaking every sort of few inches the bones. Just smash, 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 until the person was literally just like a jelly. These are the things that happened during that time. Horrific, nightmarish, often done in public, and you can see that all of that is going to drive and fuel and power the birth of a god like Khorne. So keeping that principle in mind, two questions were coming up again and again. Now the first, why would the emperor eliminating religion not destroy the chaos gods? Well, simply because, as stated, while the gods undoubtedly crave worship, so why wouldn't they want those who are committed to furthering everything they desire, it's already established that they can influence those outside of the warp severely who are not worshippers. So case in point, the emperor's own primarchs. I mean, if there was ever going to be representatives of humanity that you would have expected to be not corruptible, it was going to be them. Yet through the entities of the warp reaching out, twisting, manipulating, scheming, they managed to turn what should have been the final stages of the emperor's great crusade, finalizing all the gains he had made and helping him remove some of the pesky worshipping that had been going on throughout the galaxy, undoubtedly some of it that probably leaned very strongly or small way towards the chaos gods, perhaps even if they didn't know it. Chaos had reached out, twisted the emperor's own sons to its own end, and as a result causing a downward spiral of horrific war that would continue to spiral out of control long beyond the conclusion of the heresy, which was of course exactly what the Chaos Gods would have wanted. They didn't want worship gone, they wanted it to continue. They wanted humanity to bathe in its own blood and scheming, its desires and its despair. But as I said in my video, in my opinion, they didn't need worship. They want it, but they didn't need it, because even if the Emperor had been 100% successful, it wouldn't have destroyed the gods, weakened them undoubtedly. But they have demonstrated they're more than capable of influencing and furthering their own needs. But okay, what about then the worship? Because I said it wasn't about the worship, but about the other acts, because that wasn't how the warp worked. Now, this is true, the warp is primarily about emotions, feelings, and thoughts, not the actions of bowing, praying. Okay, not that one, I'm talking about the specific action itself. However, and this is perhaps what I didn't make clear enough in the video, there is a lot of semantics at play here. So the argument being that the very act of worship itself fuels and sustains the gods in the warp, that the very act of having faith and worship is a feeling in and of itself that is essentially a separate emotion to contribute to your chosen god. There's meant to be a piece of reference that speaks to this effect, but as yet I haven't been able to find it. I continue searching for it. It's supposed to be in the Liber Chaotica. I haven't been able to find it. So maybe that does exist. Maybe it very specifically states that just purely having worship, whatever, contributes directly to the warp. I haven't found this. If you want to go and find it yourself and bring that back, go for it. But like I say, you know, even then, if it's a one-off singular reference, very subjective, I would say, how much weight you place into that singular reference. So then we come to faith. Now again, you could come to the conclusion that faith is a feeling. You feel your faith for something. Except I don't believe that it is. Now, why do I conclude that? So I guess first you have to think about what we regard faith to be. What is the core constant when we talk about faith? Now again, you could argue that faith is something you feel. You feel it in you. But it depends on what you mean by a feeling. A feeling is defined as something that is a vague suspicion, a premonition, a notion. A feeling is an idea or a belief you have about something, but that you're not completely sold on. Or it is very simply an emotional reaction to something. Now those definitions for me are not how I understand faith as a concept, because the core constant when you think about faith is that it is unbreakable. Because up until the point where you have faith in something, you don't truly believe in it. But feelings, on the other hand, are very flexible. They wax, wane, they come and go, they're changeable all the time. But that's not what faith is. So essentially, when you have a feeling, that can be swayed, it can be changed, it can be moved on about an idea. But once that feeling of an idea becomes a certainty for you, it becomes faith. Faith is the point at which you go from trying to choose between something or to perhaps rationalize it to where you come to an understanding that in your own mind that this is your reality, your belief system. You believe it to your core. Once you've found that faith, it should be unshakable by others or by your emotions. And this is key as well. People who speak about having faith do not allow disastrous events to break it. They somehow see past this tempest of emotions they may be feeling is simply breaking over them, like a violent sea might break over rocks. Your faith remains unmoved because your faith, and be that in the Emperor or the Chaos Gods, is not a feeling or an emotion that you have that's going to wax or wane. It's not something that goes away or that you may feel now or then or only in extreme circumstances. It's a constant certainty. It's distinct and separate. Faith is knowing to your core that the understanding you have concluded is unbreakable, no matter what else is occurring. But it's not going to become stronger or less, it's basically just a defined constant. So what I'm saying is, having faith in a Chaos God doesn't feed it emotionally, but it is a powerful thought. Now I'm not 100% sold on the idea that this in and of itself feeds or fuels the warp. All I've read focuses entirely on it being about the strength of emotion. But is it possible that strong thoughts also focus your mental, psychic energy through to the warp? It's certainly possible. But even then, if you want to really break things down and get into the mechanics of what a thought means, you know, let's say you're scheming to murder a person. You can plan out the very emotionless mechanical aspects. That's a thought. But the thought that I consider that would transition to the warp is the emotional part of that thought. So it's still related to an emotion. If you were scheming to take like a higher position, you wanted to get a promotion, or you wanted to steal somebody else's job, there are still many emotions happening there which are related to that scheming conspiracy. So even when we talk about this idea of, well, your thought, you might well be thinking about doing an action. Usually there's going to be associated connected emotions to that action, which is what you're wanting to do, and that's what's driving things forward. So what then of prayer? Now, when it comes to chaos cults and worshippers, you probably have to loosely interpret specifically what you would imagine them to have. Maybe for them it's some kind of group chanting or individually whispered moments when they focus themselves, or, you know, arcane runes and other elements like this. Sacrifices maybe, but that's, like I say, an action, it's not praying, is it? Now look, either way, prayer is the thing that is closest for me in terms of literally feeding and sustaining the warp. Yet again, prayer isn't a feeling, it's an act. So you use it to convey all your pent-up emotions and overwhelming feelings through the focus of your worship. It's a release for you to convey and let those feelings flow through you. So in this sense, does the act of worship feed and sustain the gods, specifically the gods of chaos? I think yes, it does. But is it faith that in and of itself feeds the warp or the gods? No, that isn't what faith is, as is my understanding anyway. Is faith a part of someone's belief and their worship though? Yes, it is. As I said, there's a lot of semantics here, but I find that this is important. So the remaining thoughts for me are as follows. Did the emperor, as I highlighted, seek the extermination of religion so as to, quote, destroy the chaos realm? I don't think so. We hear demons speaking about how the emperor's actions are destroying their realm, but this seems a very over-the-top evaluation, likely for dramatic effect on behalf of what goal that demon was trying to achieve. But was the emperor's war on religion during the crusade probably having some negative impact on the chaos gods and the warp? Undoubtedly. Did they just step around that problem with almost no issues whatsoever? Absolutely. Because as I said in the video, this idea that the emperor is going to destroy chaos by removing religion, it seems absurd. It would make them weaken, to be sure, but they've survived for millennia. It seems pretty implausible to me that this would be some kind of hammer to strike them down with. It's way more probable that the emperor had other plans, but that was unable to realize them, or maybe Kelsa was worried about things way further down the line. But the final thought, was the emperor justified in his war on religion through the imperial truth? Probably. But when you consider that chaos is continually scheming and reaching out and manipulating whatever they can to suit their own ends in the material realm, it seems like a lot of effort on behalf of the emperor and his crusade in terms of the human cost for him imposing this imperial truth that the gods just then were going to sidestep, and they ultimately did. So this to me, as I said in my conclusions, is just another misjudgment on behalf of the emperor, really. He makes this huge effort, I would say very difficult to argue the validity of the slaughter. His own primarchs are disagreeing with him about like how heavy-handed it is. He has this very dismissive attitude to human life, and it's just kind of like a means to an end, and he has this bigger goal which he's reaching towards, and it's going to save everyone, but you know, the cost of that is going to be very high. And then after all of that, all of this kind of grand plan, chaos is just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna step around that and do what we've done forever. And this whole grand plan about getting rid of religion, it didn't really work, it didn't really achieve anything, and the cost to humanity was pretty high. So, you know, whilst the goal overall may have been very lofty, very admirable, I find it very difficult to accept that this was ever going to have the kind of significant impact that it was portrayed that it was going to. Anyway, I hope that helps clarify and give a little more detail on my thoughts around this. I'll be back with more very soon, guys. Thanks for watching as always. Drop a like if you enjoyed and leave me your thoughts down below.